We're going to be looking at 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verses 7 and 8. Let's bow together for prayer for a moment. Oh Lord, we seek your blessing and the working of your Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives here this afternoon so that we might truly appreciate what you did for the Apostle Paul and what you give to all godly mothers. And all mothers in general, even. We pray that we would be able to learn and grow spiritually as a result of hearing these words that I'll speak and that you will bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 7, but Paul says, "We were gentle among you just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children, so affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." So it's fitting on this Mother's Day that we would think about Paul's words here to these Thessalonian believers, which tell us how pastors and preachers of the gospel were like a nursing mother in some ways that will be important for us to take notice of and to understand. I want to ask the question, what are these desirable qualities which nursing mothers can teach all Christians so that we would better represent Christ to people around us? I'm going to give you three. They are gentleness, cherishing, and third, the desire to impart life-giving and life-sustaining truths. First of all, the quality of gentleness, verse 7, "But we were gentle among you, just as a nursing mother cherishes her own children." So who's more gentle than a nursing mother? We should remember here that the Apostle Paul was dealing with new and young believers who were suffering persecution from their own countrymen, and he needed very much to be gentle with them. It's one of the primary qualities, by the way, of a good leader, not harshness or severity, but gentleness. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, 24 to 26, "The Lord's servant must not be quarrelsome, but be kind or gentle to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, in humility or in gentleness, correcting those who are in opposition, if perhaps God will grant them repentance, so that they may know the truth, and that they might come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will." So this is why God has made nursing mothers, by the way, to be gentle. He knows that a young child is going to have many needs, many complaints even. And some of the complaints are going to be for the wrong reasons. In many things, patience is going to be needed on the part of the mother to teach and to correct the child so that they will grow up to glorify God. And gentleness is the way to see this accomplished to the glory of God. Gentleness is a quality which each of us ought to thank God for when we see it in mothers. It ought not to be despised. But gentleness is a quality which we also ought to thank God for in relation to strong men and leaders in church and society. For there's a great need for gentleness to accomplish many things which are good. 2 Corinthians 10, verses 1 to 3, "Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, I am bold towards you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh." So you can see here how much importance Paul considered the quality and grace of gentleness. It flows from humility, that wonderful lowliness of mind, which does not consider others as less important, which considers others as more important than ourselves. It's not opposed to boldness, which Paul also considered to be of great value in speaking the truth. But Paul is saying that both should be coupled together in spiritual warfare to see truth and goodness established in the hearts of men. So mothers know this very well, and we should be thankful for it. How often have we as fathers had something to say to our children, and we haven't said it gently? We've said it roughly, or we've said it harshly, and we've spoiled the truth of it in our delivery of it. We may have proved our point, but we were not in the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. It says in Galatians 5:23. So gentleness is something that only God himself can really teach you. But he will also use gentle men and women who themselves have been taught by him. 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 36 says, "You have also given me the shield of your salvation. Your gentleness has made me great. You enlarged my path under me, so my feet did not slip." So how God-like, how Christ-like is the quality of gentleness. It's the shield of our salvation, that God will deal gently with us because of Jesus Christ. Can we not, should we not then also deal gently with others? Well, I think that we should, especially our children, so that they might grow up to be great and godly men and women. Well, the second quality of a nursing mother, which we can all learn from, which will better help us to demonstrate Christ, is the quality of cherishing our children. Cherishing our children flows out of and is a part of our realizing how great the love of Christ is to us. To cherish is to hold or to treat as dear, to care for tenderly, to nurture or foster, also to entertain in the mind. In other words, to think upon. So believers are entertained in the mind of God. Do you see that? God thinks upon us. He is mindful of us. You see, we were loved enough by God in Christ that Christ died for our sins in order that God might cherish us forever. A person cherishes those whom he truly loves. And one of the reasons we honor mothers this day is because they cherish our children. They hold them in their mind and in their heart. They hold them as babes, keeping them warm. They nurture them. They cherish them by giving them nourishment and comfort and the encouragement of their physical body when they are infants. And they cherish them also in their minds and in their thoughts as they grow older. And if we are fathers, we know that they cherish our children because they cherish us as their husbands. And the marriage relationship which God has brought us into, this is only right, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes it and cherishes it, just as the Lord does the church, Ephesians 5:9. But what about cherishing other believers in the faith? There is no marriage relationship there, but we cherish them in a spiritual way. We do this as something which flows out of our love to Jesus Christ. Being married to the Lord Jesus spiritually, we want to be loyal to him. We want to honor him by loving and cherishing his spiritual children. We may or may not have begotten them by the gospel, but we can cherish them. And we can cherish them with the kind of love that will think about their welfare and the good that we can do for young believers. And really, this kind of cherishing applies to all believers. The word in the Greek for cherishing here is thalpo, which A.T. Robertson says is an old word to keep warm, to cherish with tender love, to foster. So we have a good example of it in 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 1. If you have a Bible, you can turn over there, but I'll read it for you. It says, "Now King David was old, and he was advanced in years, and they put covers on him, but he could not get warm." I like the way that the King James Version puts it, "but he got no heat." In fact, let me give you the rest of these verses in the King James. It says, "Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin, and let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him." There's our word. "Let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coasts of Israel, and they found Abishag, a Shunammite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and she cherished the king and ministered to him, but the king knew her not." So there was no marriage consummated in a sexual relationship here. What we have here is a cherishing relationship. In the margin of my King James Bible, it says that the Hebrew means, "let her be a cherisher of him." So this is what Paul would be to the young believers at Thessalonica. And this is what you and I, who would learn the spiritual significance of motherhood, should pray that we come into in our relationships with younger believers or any needy believer for that matter. Christ's little ones or other believers, they need cherishing. They need the warmth of devotion and love that you have for Jesus Christ to come to them when they cannot get heat spiritually, when their relationship with Christ, their spiritual body temperature is cold. Now, no doubt David wanted to be warm, but he couldn't generate it in himself. That's why they looked out for someone who could care for him, cherish him, and keep him warm. So let me ask, are you this way spiritually with believers whose love and faith has grown cold or has cooled? Take a look around you at other believers and ask yourself, what can I do for them to encourage them, to comfort them, to warm their faith into a fire? And then third, there is the quality of the nursing mother to want to impart life, giving and sustaining truths, verse 8. "So affectionately longing for you, we were well pleased to impart to you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you had become dear to us." So the gospel of Jesus Christ is a gospel which brings life, just as a nursing mother wants to impart to her child her own life-giving mother's milk, so you and I should want to impart the life-giving truths of the gospel to people around us, and especially to young believers. So discipling young believers is imparting to them not only everything which Christ has commanded them, but it is also our imparting to them in the way that we teach them. That is, we give them our very lives. We give them of our experience, out of our experience in the way of the truth of God's Word, how God's Word has helped us, how it's nourished us, how it's made us strong, how the Word of God has helped us to grow spiritually. Now that's true discipleship. When your life overflows into the lives of others in accordance with the Word of God. When we who are older in the faith are around newborn spiritual babes in Christ, it is our job to act as a mother introducing the spiritual breast to the babe, saying, come on, take this. You know, mothers do this with children. It's a really wonderful thing. Take in the Word of God. This is what will give you nourishment and growth. Receive it from me as a mother in the faith. And that's why the Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 2, 1 and 2, therefore, laying aside all malice, all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and all evil speaking, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So let me ask, do you as a more mature believer have this desire to want to impart life-giving and sustaining truths to younger believers? This is good. If you do, if you do not, it would be good that you would pray and ask the Lord to show you someone whom you can personally minister to. And I hope that each of us deeply appreciates the mother who raised us by feeding us and caring for us and nourishing us bodily so that we grew up to walk and even to think in the right way. She guided you when you were very prone to doing the wrong thing. She directed you into the right paths if she was a faithful mother. And now it is your job to be acting the part of a spiritual mother. Do not be ashamed of it. Paul was not. He was not only well pleased to impart the gospel of God, but he says here his own life, because these believers had become dear to him. How about you? Are you becoming a mother in this holy sense that we're talking about? I trust that by the grace of God, you will. Well, why don't we pray together? We thank you, Lord, for this little time around the word, and we pray that it would be a blessing and benefit to your people here gathered this afternoon. May we all be, who know you, spiritual mothers to others around us, willing to impart the truth of your blessed word to them, these life-giving, life-nourishing truths that we know from the Bible. Oh, Lord, bless this day to all mothers and all of us in ministering to them. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.